Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and for Thy kindness and mercy in revealing to us in Him the truth which is able to guide us into Thy will and to strengthen us in our faith as we turn to Thee. We pray now as we study that Thy Holy Spirit will continue to minister to us, taking the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and showing them unto us, that we may be blessed in Him. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We're studying along in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, and the part that we are reading and studying is a record of things that happened when the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem as the King. And we feel that these things are grouped together in this Gospel in a way to indicate the things that the Lord Jesus Christ does and will do when He comes to move in and take over as the one in authority, when He comes in as King. Now, the story that we read and the things that happened occurred in Jerusalem hundreds of years ago, as we know, while the Lord Jesus was here upon earth and in dealing with people then. The truth is, however, that this is the kind of thing that would happen even with us. And the things that were done then are meaningful even to us now. Now, one of the things we found out is that when the Lord Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the city of the people of God, He finds many things that are not as they ought to be. And He judges them. He will not tolerate that which does not do the will of His Father. He personally is committed to do the will of His Father, and He will approve that which is acceptable to God, and He will not approve that which is not acceptable to God. Now, just at the point that we're at in chapter 22, He is facing other people's ideas about what would be proper in a religious way. And in this chapter 22 in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is questioned by three different groups. Groups of people who had certain ideas of their own. Each of them felt that the Lord was wrong in the way He was presenting the truth of God, that His teaching was somehow inadequate, although each was from a different point of view. Now, in our last study, we noted the first group were the Herodians. That is, they were the Jews who were collaborating with Herod the king. And I think you could properly say about them, they were the Jews that were interested in public affairs, whose whole approach in the whole matter of life and of their religious activity would be a matter of doing that which would be counted right in the sight of the world. They raised the question with the Lord Jesus, the question of legality, you'll remember. They said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar, expecting that in the ensuing discussion that he would somehow get himself tangled up? Is it permitted by the rules which you're setting out, is it permitted to give taxes, to pay taxes to the Roman government? And he handled those. And now in chapter 22, beginning at verse 23, and in these next few verses, we have a second group. And you will see they are called the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a group of people who were featured or characterized by certain ideas which they had. They were a group who did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe in the resurrection. In other words, they didn't believe in the spiritual world, the kind of people who felt that the whole of life is lived in this world. I don't know whether you've met anyone like that recently. Sometimes one can go along for a long time, perhaps even for years, and never meet a teacher of that sort. But within the past year, I met such a person. Incidentally, the man I have in mind is very prominent and is given great opportunity to speak. And when it comes right down to saying exactly what he means, he actually meant to say that the whole of life is lived between birth and death in this world. There isn't anything else. Everything is right down here. Now, if he had lived back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have been called a Sadducee. Now, those people have an attitude toward those of us who talk about heaven. And they would say about us that we're naive. That means to say, you know, we're childlike, if not childish. And they would say about us that we're illogical, and they have many other things to say, and I remember that man said some things weren't nice about anybody who, living in this world, was actually thinking about living in another. Now, these people, when they came to the Lord Jesus, they tried to show that his whole teaching about heaven and eternal life was foolish. And they did this in a way that I think will be interesting to every one of us. Let me read this passage to you and notice what they said. The same, I'm reading in chapter 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother, likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, they made that up. But they made it up in such a way as to show what they thought was the ridiculous nature of this doctrine which would teach that there is a life after death. But really, basically, their objection is due to the fact that they were going to be reasonable. According to human ideas, they were going to be reasonable, and they were going to reject anything they felt was unreasonable. And they felt this whole talk about life in another world, it just doesn't make sense. Now notice verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, you make a mistake, you go wrong, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now let us look a bit closely at this. What is it that he said to them? Without any hesitation, he said, you're wrong. You're making your mistake at this very point. You don't know the Bible. You don't know the scriptures. And that brings something important to our minds. We believe in heaven. We believe in the soul. We believe in eternal life because the Bible says so. That's where we get it. Nowhere else in the world do you get these ideas about living after death that we've got. Nowhere else in the world do you get any real idea of resurrection from the dead but in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when anybody is thinking about living again in another world than this, it's Bible material. And these people, the Sadducees, they were wrong in their thinking, went all wrong in their conclusions, because they didn't understand the Bible, and they didn't know the power of God. Now, if they'd known the power of God, they could have believed the resurrection, and if they'd known the Bible, they could have known something about life after death. And then he went on to say, as touching the resurrection, have you not read? You see, that's the way you'll know about the resurrection. It's in the Bible. And if any of you by any chance have often wondered whether or not some loved one of yours will live again, listen, the Bible says so. And if you wonder whether or not there is life for you after this world, the Bible says so. Now, don't try to build up your hope and expectation of future life on your feelings or on what somebody else says or on the way in which you can figure it out. That's all too shaky. Go by the Scriptures. Have you not read? And then notice this. He said, have you not read, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? You know what he's actually saying? That what you read in the Bible was spoken to you by God. It's that important. And then like this, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And what is this doctrine of the living God based on a tense of a verb? I am, not I was. Now, that's the whole thing. Because he didn't say I was the God of Abraham, but because he says I am the God of Abraham, the Lord Jesus is arguing that Abraham is alive now. On that basis, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And because he says I am the God of Abraham, he would also say, I am the God of your father. I am the God of your grandfather. I am the God of your mother. I am the God of that friend of yours who passed away. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. The whole doctrine of this living God, God of the living people who have gone on, is here grounded on a tense, actually based on the tense of a verb in a statement of the Bible. But for us, we can have this in mind as we've listened along in here. The whole idea of the resurrection, the whole truth of the resurrection, is not to be argued from any human point of view, nor will it ever be understood as man talks to man. This is in the Bible. It comes from the Bible. It's presented to us in the Bible, and we're encouraged to believe it by the Bible. May the Lord help you to read the Bible and believe these things. Our God and Heavenly Father, encourage us as we read these things to remember that in our Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told us that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And if he has gone to prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us to himself, that where he is, there he may be also. O Father, help us to comfort one another with these words. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.